Welcome back, everyone. I hope everyone's Yantif was enjoyable and meaningful. Tonight, we're going to continue our series of Adin on the Torah of Rabbi Eliezer Lapian. And we're going to speak out something that he says, but I want to give a little bit of an introduction of Hakdama to this entire idea behind what he's going to be saying tonight. You know, the last 150 years, let's say from the late 1800s till today, there's been a great explosion of innovation and technology in the world, the likes of which has never been seen. You know, from the invention, things that were inconceivable 150, 200 years ago. And we take it for granted. It's like everything else in our life. You know, we're so used to things, and then it's obvious. Of course, you know, there are you know, airplanes flying in the air with people on them that could get, you know, from here to Eretz Yisrael in 10 hours. It's a given. You know, that wasn't such a given a couple of generations ago. That was an impossible dream. It was not even a dream. People would never think that could be even possible. The telephone. Telephone is a crazy thing if you think about it. I'm not even talking about the cell phones. We'll get to that in a second. But just the telephone, the old-fashioned telephones, that a landline that has a wire, and you pick it up and you dial a number and you get to speak to anyone in the world. Like, how normal is that? That's not a normal thing, that I could speak to China, Eretz Yisrael, Europe. Like, people had to work, you know, laying wires all across the country. Every street you see, there's like these ugly wires. Those are telephone wires that are, you don't need those really anymore. I guess someday they're going to just knock them all down once cell phones become, you know, everyone has them, and I don't even know why anyone does. I haven't had a landline in my house for years now. Who needs? Everyone has a cell phone. Like, what's the point? But and there's so many of these inventions: the train and the car and the you know, and of course the medical breakthroughs. The fact that there are, you know, cures for every disease pretty much known to man, except for like some really big ones, but that they found the cure to polio. Polio was like a devastating illness. Children would be born with this polio and they wouldn't be able to walk. They'd be paralyzed for life, and they gave a vaccine and that stopped it. When we were going through COVID, like, they did a crazy, you know, move, and they were able to galvanize all the scientists in the world to find a cure for to immunize people against COVID. You know, it didn't work perfectly, but it saved probably the world. If it would have continued to spread without any medication, that would probably be a different world today. And a zillion other inventions that are just like mind-boggling. And the Chafetz Chaim lived at the cusp of all of these inventions taking place. Like, he saw airplanes, and he saw, you know, he was Nifter in 1933, so he already saw a camera, which is also a tremendous chiddush, video stills. We know that there are videos in his time because there's a video of the Chafetz Chaim walking into the Knesset Gedolah. So obviously, but this was like very cutting edge, but he knew about it. He was very familiar. He wrote in a few of his svarim, in Shem Eilam and in Netzach Yisrael, and a few of his svarim, he writes about the Musar Haskel that one should be taking away from these inventions. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the ability to have such innovation in our lifetime, then there's always a Musar to be taken out of that innovation. And the Chafetz Chaim, and not just the Chafetz Chaim, there are other people also. The Sadegei Rebbe is famous for saying similar things. But the Chafetz Chaim would go through different inventions, and he would point out how you learn a lot. For example, the telegram. Telegram was like before the fax machine. There was something called a telegram. And when, you know, I'm not I'm not the oldest guy in the world, but like when I was a kid, a lot of people used to send telegrams to people if you want to get. My father, in fact, was a businessman. And he had a telex machine in his house in the basement, and it's very complicated to describe. You had to like put some like reels of like yellow paper in, like a spool of yellow paper into the machine, and you type what you want to type, and then it goes, and then you hit the send button, and it dial. There's like a dial on the machine. We threw it out during Hurricane Sandy. I'm sure it would be worth money today, that telex machine. But you dial China, you know, he's dealing with China, and this, so how do you get like a letter to them in real time? So you do it through a telex machine, and it types it out, and then the letter goes through, and that's it. And it's very expensive. And before you had your own telex machine in the house, not too many people had what my father had, you had to go to the post office, and you would send a telegram, and every single word that you would write, you had to pay for. So let's say it was, 25 cents a word, which is a lot of money. So you can't just write a whole Megillah because you're paying for every word. So you have to like write it out and then cross out every extra word. And then by a period, you have to write the word stop in order to know when the sentence stops. There's no period, so you have to do stop. So you had to be, it's like an art. You have to be makatzer as much as you could that it was readable, but you weren't paying that much money at the end of the day. And, you know, if you look in any of these books about the war, the Holocaust, you see like Gedolim sent telegrams to each other across the world, and, you know, about different crises that they had to deal with in real time. And Chavetz Chaim says, from the telegram you learn that you pay for every word you say. Says that's the mussar that I see in a telegram. Every word, there's a price to pay. You speak Lashon Hara, enjoy, because you're going to have to pay for every single word. You say Nivol Peh, pay for every bittul Torah, pay for every single word. Every word has a cost. That's the mussar that the Chavetz Chaim says is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mussar shmuz through the telegram. A telephone teaches us that whatever you say over here is heard over there. You speak over here something, Hashem hears it in Shamayim. Everything that you do is being heard, whether or not you realize it or not. And finally, he says about a camera, he says a camera is something that teaches you that whatever you do, kol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim, whatever you do is being recorded. It's being recorded. And today, we understand what that means. There's not a single block you walk down that you're not being recorded at all times. In the olden days, there was like a shaila, if you should go to the kaisel. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael, the big hot button shaila was, are you allowed to go to the kaisel on Shabbos? Why? Because there are always like people taking pictures of you on Shabbos, and there's security cameras. Today, the whole Eretz Yisrael is under a security camera. They have every square inch of Eretz Yisrael, there's security cameras, and same thing as in New York, and there's and there's cameras on people's houses and on buildings and on signs and on posts. And the lessons of the Chavetz Chaim that you learn from the camera is that you have to remember that every single thing that you do is being filmed for posterity. There's going to be a recording of everything that we do. I just saw last night, Chavetz Chaim says a similar vart by Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, of course, was tempted by Eishes Potifar, and the pasuk says, "V'leishama elaha lishkav ima liyais lishkav etzlo liyais ima." I think that's the lashon of the pasuk. He didn't listen. He kept every day he had to refuse her advances. He didn't listen to lie down with her and to be with her. So what's the double lashon? The Gemara, Rashi brings the Gemara in Saita that says, Lishka v'ima b'ilmazeh. He refused to sleep with her in this world. Liyais ima b'ilmaba, and to be with her in the next world. What does that mean? So Chavetz Chaim says the pshat is that we have a camera. Such a thing as a camera in this world. And so, and in real time, if he would have been with her physically in this world, it wouldn't just be in this world, there would be a recording of that in the next world, and they'd be watching it in the next world and examining it in the next world. And so, Lishka, it's not like after you die, you're going to have to worry about it then. as soon as you do a mice in this world, it's lishka v'ima. So you didn't do it. I don't want to sleep with her in this world. Leah said, because I don't want it to be in Eilam Haba. I don't want them to have this record. Makes sense, right? You just see if there's one way of like trying to really get ourselves to avoid doing averus, it's just thinking about this, that taka, there's a, you know, ayin raya, there's an eye that's seeing. It's not just that he's seeing, he's recording. There's a movie playing, and in Eilam Haba, it's very possible that, you know, every person will get to see our entire life. There's no, you're going to say, well, who has time for it? You have billions of years up there. There's no shortage of time. You know, people have all the time in the world, and they'll be able to see every single thing that we did. And that's not fun. There's a very beautiful story. It's a book I wrote a couple of years ago called Great Jewish Photographs. This is, by the way, just this is the most popular of all my books is this one. It just keeps getting reprinted. People, I don't know, they're people like learn a lot from this. So I took like about 120 of like famous pictures or Geshmaka pictures and of Gedalim and wrote like a pirush on it, like gave the backstory behind it. And it's very, so this is a picture of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach sitting together with the Kapishnitz Rebbe. And they were mechutanim. The Panovich Rav set up a shidduch. He was in Eretz Yisrael. The Kapishnitz Rebbe was one of the Gedalim Hasidus in his time. I think his granddaughter got married to Rav Shlomo Zalman's child or grandchild, and they got, when he came to Eretz Yisrael for the chasna, they got very close and they formed a close bond. At the end of the visit, they went out together to wait for the car that would take the Rebbe to the airport. But the car was arriving. Rav Shlomo Zalman sent someone to bring a chair for the Rebbe, and he urged him to sit. But the Rebbe adamantly refused. He did not want to sit down, and Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't understand. He's an older man. Sit down. Wait for the car. Wait for the taxi to come. Sitting. So he explained that when he was young, he heard from his saintly father that throughout life, one should imagine that a photographer is constantly nearby, snapping shots of every move you make. If you will not be proud of your actions as depicted in the photos, you should refrain from carrying out the action. The Rebbe concluded, I just reflected on my father's advice and said to myself, if I sit down while Rav Shlomo Zalman stands next to me, how preposterous will such a picture appear? And Rav Shlomo Zalman was very inspired and would often tell people that there's a Jew who senses at all times that his actions are being recorded above. And that's this is a beautiful picture of the two of them, but that's the that's a lesson. All technology teaches us lessons. If you think about any technology, really, you know, you can look at your phone. You have if you have a smartphone, look at all the things that, you know, that it has a camera. Every single person today has a video camera, a high-quality video camera, and they could film anything and everything. You can't, like, assume, you see, like, so many people get in trouble because they did something and somebody recorded it on their cameras. Policemen get in trouble if they're too violent, or, you know, soldiers, or, you know, people. Everyone's being recorded constantly. It's not, you don't have to have like a Chavetz Chaim approach that maybe Lu Yitzur, somebody might, everyone's filming. There's cameras going constantly. And so these are Musar Haskels that we could take from technology to teach us very, very important lessons in Avedas Hashem. And Halavai, you know, it's difficult sometimes to think about, but it might help us sometimes when we need to be if we have a Yaisav Atzadik moment, a Vayimayin moment, sometimes, you know, thinking about, I don't want this to be recorded, I don't want people to know what I'm doing in real time, here and other places in Shemayim, I don't want this. It might be just enough to stop a person from doing an Avera when he's in the throes of sin. Let's see now what Rabbi Yehuda Lapian, after that long hakdama that I apologize for, but this sort of dovetails very nicely into what Rabbi Yehuda Lapian is going to say here. Pamachas, Ra Rabbeinu Zal. one time Rabbi Elia saw she'echad machzik biyadei radio transistor katan. In the old days, there used to be something called the transistor radio. I don't know if anyone knows what that is, but it was something that was also cutting-edge technology at the time. You were able to have a radio that it didn't have to be plugged in. Radios were around for a very long time, but you always needed to plug them in. Here you have a wireless radio. It's called a transistor radio. It just needed a battery, and you were good to go. You could just travel with it. You could listen to it. I'm smiling because I remember for Hanukkah, I asked for it. My parents got me. It was like a very cool, it was a transistor radio, but the chap was that it had sound of TV also. So you're able to listen to TV shows. You know, you couldn't see it because that was going to be years and years away, but it was able to tap into television. So if you had like a favorite show or something, you're able to like take it to school and like by recess listen to, you know, a sports game or whatever on the a television show that you like on the radio. So anyway, this was just like coming out when Rabbi Lapian was already, I guess, an older man. When somebody showed this invention to Rabbi Lapian and he heard like a voice coming out of this box, Shal b'tmiya gedayla, he asked like incredulously, "Hem be'emes efshar lahafilai gam b'li chibur shalchut chashmal l'shakeya?" Is it possible to imagine that you're able to have such an instrument, an invention that you don't need to plug into anything? Even plugging into something is a chiddush. You could plug something into a wall and it gives it power, but to not have it plugged into anything is a very big chiddush. You can have something without, again, like I know that you're like obvious, for you it's obvious, but you know, it wasn't so obvious at the time. It was a very big thing. And Kasher Nena B'chiev, when they said, yes, this is exactly what the invention does. You're able to now walk around with a wireless transistor radio. Haysif Lishol, he continued to ask. He was curious. Let's say in the machine underneath the outside of the radio, there's one little button that's missing. There's one little wire that's missing. Won't work. Something breaks inside. Something one of the millions of parts that are inside of the transistor radio is missing, so it's not going to work. Is that true? Lokain says, it's true. He says, when he was given this answer, that in the affirmative, that yes, that's true. It works without a wire, and if any small part of it is not properly functioning, it won't work. Amar said, listen to Rebellia's brilliance. Listen to what he saw in this transistor radio. Why do people have such a hard time believing that here on the head, and he pointed to the Makma Tfilin, Kach Amar of Ishas Amira Harabiyada Makma Nachas Tfilin Shal Reish, the place that we keep the Tfilin Shal Reish, Munachas Kufsa Ketana, we have a very small box that we put on our heads, Hamesheches Shefa Shal Kedusha Mimarim. It's sort of like a transistor radio. There's some connection. There's some wireless connection. Like a hotspot or you're getting some Wi-Fi. That's connecting you to Shamayim Mimarim. There's Kedusha that's coming down. There's no, well, where is the strings? How come I don't see any wires? Because you obviously don't need wires. You're able to put a box on your forehead and on the top of your head, and there's some connection that's formed. There's like airwaves or sound waves that are coming, holy sound waves that are able to connect all the way up from Shamayim and go down to earth. And what power is this? What drives this tefillin to have its holiness? Well, that's the parashas that are written inside of the tefillin. B'tachlis hashlemus b'kedusha. And these parashas have to be perfect and written with all the right kavanas and with pure sanctity. Let's say even the tip of a yud is missing inside of those batim. Nifgema hapu'ula v'nifzak hashefa. Like Cain, is it so hard? If there was a little piece of a transistor not in there, if you had a, you know, if you open up your iPhone, and you take out some of the, the silicon, whatever is functioning in there, if you take that out, it's not going to work. If you drop it on the floor, it's not going to work. If something is missing inside, it's not going to work. So it's not such a pellet to why do you need filling? How's filling work? I don't understand. What does it do? No, it creates kedusha mimarim coming down to be mashpia shefa into your machshava, into your mayach, into your yad. Really, how does it work? You have to have parshas. So let's A radio won't work if something's off inside of it. So the tefillin also, every word has to be perfect. You can't have an imperfection in it. And if you do, then it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You know, there are people that are very cynical about all these types of halachas, and a sefer Torah has to be perfect, and tefillin have to be, and a mezuzah have to be perfect. Why? And if I, you know, like, just, it's good enough that I put it on my wall. I don't need to be perfect. And you know, I think there's, it's like sort of famous, like there's, says if you send like an email and you put like a period in the middle of, in between your first name and your last name, there's a little period, but that's not your email. Your email is your first name and your last name together. So then, is it going to work? Not going to work. But it's just a little period. What's a chilek? Okay, but that's all the difference between it working and it's not going to send. And so maybe before technology, we wouldn't be able to have such a muslik because, like, all right, it's close enough, it's good enough. You're putting tefillin in, it's have to be perfect inside. I'm putting up a mezuzah. The symbolism is there, and so it's not a perfect mezuzah. I got a cheap mezuzah. I don't know if it's good or it's not good. Is that a big problem? So maybe in the old days we wouldn't understand it, but you could take away from technology, you know, that everything has to be perfect. You have to have a perfect. You have to type in the email. Just so, if it's off by a mashu, if it's off by a little period, it's not going to work. We know that, but that's pasha, right? It's not. No one would even question that. I have I used to go to a Hanukkah program years ago. I was like a scholar in residence. I used to go, and then one year the owner of the it's a good thing for you to know, just because it could save you maybe in the future a lot of money and a lot of agmas nefesh. So this guy who was running the program, a very nice guy, and he was making a Pesach program in a hotel somewhere in New Jersey. And what happened was, it was pretty famous, but it was hard for me to see because I was friendly with this guy. You know, he was friendly, but, you know, we had a relationship. And what happened was that there was like an inside job, like in the hotel, working in this Pesach hotel, that he was, you know, was a person that was like, you know, was a ganav basically, and he said to him, you know, send, you know, we're expecting, you know, you to wire us, I don't know, whatever they needed to rent the hotel for Pesach. It was getting close, $300,000, let's say $500,000, $1 million, I don't know what it cost. So. And they sent him a link, and the link was, it was like the name of the hotel, you know, whatever the hotel was, let's say, you know, the Jackson Hotel, you know, at .com, you know, or at gmail.com or whatever, at whatever. So, but this guy put a period in between, like, the Jackson, I mean, it looked legit. It looked like, you know, this is it, you know, there was like a period somewhere in between the name. And because of that period, it was not sent to the hotel. It was rerouted to his own private bank account. And the guy stole, you know, all the money. And then when they actually came Erev Yontif to start setting up the hotel for Pesach, they said, we didn't get paid from you. He said, what do you mean you didn't pay? I wired the money, showed him the way. So look at the email address. It's the wrong email address. There's a period there. And it was a very big scandal. I mean, it was on the radio, these from radio shows, and, you know, because a lot of people thought that he was scamming. You know, it was like I'll tell you an interesting story in the aftermath of this, that the whole world was like, believed that he was a ganav, that he really just took everyone's money and he left all the people high and dry, that they paid. I don't blame them. I wouldn't be happy either if I sent $50,000, $100,000 to bring my family to Pittsburgh and I find out that there's no Pesach program and you're not getting your money back. I wouldn't be happy either. But, you know, but people were on the radio show speaking terrible Lashon Hara about him, and, you know, he was going through Gehenna, mamish. And somebody, that Pesach, you can imagine what he was going. The whole world was tumbling about him. Somebody, like a wealthy gevir, said, I went through a similar embarrassment once, and a lot of people told me, he said, I'm going to send you for Pesach to South Africa, and there's like a Pesach program down there. You take your wife, take your kids, and just get away, and you know, you'll worry about everything when you get back, but at least try to have a nice Pesach. So he sent me a whole email, a whole voice note about it. So he went to this Pesach program, and his wife, and he saw there was like a couple, like a 30-year-old couple, just sitting alone in the Pesach program in the hotel. So, you know, in Pesach, you have nothing better to do, you just walk over and start schmoozing. So he says, why, you know, it looked funny, like, where are their parents, where are their kids, where are their siblings? So they said to him that, you know, we've been married already like 10 years and can't have kids, and we don't want to be in with our friends and our family. Our family, all our siblings have tons of kids, and it's very uncomfortable for us. Everyone's staring at us. We feel like, you know, it is very difficult. So we came here, that we knew that no one would know us here, and, you know, at least we could spend the Pesach together. We don't have to have bezyanus. So this guy said to them, I want you to know that it's known that if you suffer tremendous busha, people are mevaza you, such a person has the ability to give brachas that are super, super powerful. Like brachas that a gadol hadar is not capable of giving, a person that has suffered indignation and bezyanus has that ability. He says, I have suffered tremendously the last month or two, the last couple of weeks. Everyone's talking Lashon Hara about me on the internet and on the radio and on everything. I'm suffering tremendous bezyanus, and I'm giving, with all of that, I'm giving you a bracha right now that after 10 years, you're going to get, from now on, you're going to get pregnant and you're going to have a baby, Mitzvah Hashem, within the year. And I'm going to come to your bris. And 9 months to the day, they had a baby. I'll show you a picture of it. Let's see if I can find it. One second. Hold on. This is the baby. Beautiful baby girl, I think. And he sent me the whole voice. He wanted me to talk about it in my shirim and stuff, and so I'm doing that. But that is, I'm just telling you, that's the power of getting an email right. You have to be very careful. You know, you just never know when such an information in your brain is going to come in handy. Right now you're like, okay, it's a nice story, but like, what do I do with it? Someday you'll be in business, you know, you're going to be wiring money. You have to like check 1,000 times to make sure that this is a legit, you know, wire transfer, this is a legit email address, and it's something that, because if you get it wrong by a mashu, you're finished. Literally, it's the difference between chayim and mavis sometimes. And so, but these are all lessons that we can understand because we're living in these times of technology. Technology is, you know, there's a lot of good from technology, a lot of bad, as we know. But the Chavetz Chaim and others are able to take tremendous mussar from technology, and for that alone, it's very valuable. Rav Matisyahu Solomon used to say that the internet is a very powerful tool, and he says he has no doubt that Hashem created the internet so that when Mashiach comes, we'll be able to see his arrival and spread the news of his arrival in real time, and it'll go viral, and everybody, the whole world will know. Every single person in the world will know when Mashiach comes. And he says, but until then, Matzah Salman fought tooth and nail against the internet and technology and to, you know, all the tag and all these filtering, you know, organizations. They're all from Matisseau's initiatives to try to curb the avalanche of technology and how it's ruining our generation, our minds. But even Rav Matisseau was able to see and take Musar from technology. There's a point to this all. Every single thing in our world has a ruchniistic purpose, and we have to take Musar from it. So whether it's the transistor radio teaching us about tefillin, or it's the camera teaching about ayin raya, or it's the or if it's any of the other, and the telegram teaching us about the power of a word, telephone teaching us that what you say here is heard there, all of these things are super, super important. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us these inventions, and there's going to be many more now. Sometimes we think that, all right, we saw all the inventions, nothing else to do. Now you got to have an iPhone, you have an Android, you have a this, and that's it. What else could they do? You know, and then all of a sudden they come out with like AI. And like, you know, AI is like blowing everything else out of the water. And there's going to be something after AI, and there's going to be something after AI. And we're just at literally the tip of the iceberg. But if you can bear in mind, you know, as you see all of these inventions and you try to like take Musar from all of them, there's a lot of powerful Musar to mine from all these inventions. And sometimes, you know, like the Torah Anytime's motto is God's reason for the internet. And everyone's like, yeah, right. You know, like that's what the internet's for a few rabbis giving shirim. You never know. Like that might be the entire reason for the internet. And the entire reason for the telephone might be to teach us the musar of speech. And these are things that we should bear in mind as we go forward. And as the world of technology improves and advances, our musar has to advance alongside it and always be able to be yainik to take very, very powerful lessons and spread those lessons to the world. Okay, nice.